If you can put up the slides for me, Sam. Our sermon title today is A Complete Faith. A Complete Faith. And I want to kind of talk about, yeah, we can go to the first slide, Sam. I want to talk about Father's Day a little bit. Yes, I do want to also say thank you to all the fathers in our church. I know it's not easy, so I do want to think of you today. Also, I want to think of our Heavenly Father. He's our perfect Father. He's our loving Father. He's our kind Father. He chastens us sometimes, but it's in love, as the scripture says. And he wants us all to follow him. He says that he says in the Bible that if you truly love me, you'll keep my commandments. And so we want to honor our God by not just saying we love him, but also by following what he asks us to do. Shall we pray before we start? Dear Lord, I thank you for today. I thank you for all that you've given to us. I thank you for your love and your grace towards us, Lord. I thank you for your kindness towards us, Father. I thank you for your chastening when we don't listen sometimes, when we want to do our own thing, Lord. You're still there with us, Lord, trying to woo us back to you, Father. And this Father's Day, I want to think mostly of you, Father, because you are our perfect Father. You are our perfect God, and you want us to follow you and to love you, Lord, that we may enjoy the peace and happiness that you have to give us, Father. I pray that you'll be with us now as we study about a faith, Lord, and I pray next all these things in your name. Amen.
Amen.
So our sermon title today is A Complete Faith. A Complete Faith. In times like these, with this pandemic of the coronavirus, we need to have a complete faith. In times like these, where we sincerely feel that the hand of God's judgment has begun to be visited in this world of sin and degradation, we need to have a complete faith. In times like these, where the love of many shall wax cold, as it says in Matthew 24, verse 12, we need to have a complete faith. In times like these, where there seems to be so much uncertainty, so much anxiety, so much depression, so much stress, so much anger, and so much hurt and pain, we as a church need to have a complete faith. And in order to have a complete faith, we must be building and increasing our faith. For when we are allowing God to transform our lives in molding us and fashioning us according to his image, we are building and increasing our faith. When we are experiencing the joy and peace that only comes from serving him, we are building and increasing our faith. When we are witnessing for him and spreading the gospel, not just in telling about him, but in walking in the light as he is in the light, we are building and increasing our faith. When we are going through trials and tribulations, and we are trusting and leaning and relying on his promises to see us through, we are building and increasing our faith. For as it says in Matthew 7, 24 to 27, as we are building and increasing our faith, we are establishing the house of our souls on the rock, Christ Jesus, so that when these winds of strife and tribulation and persecution blows, we may continue to stand for God. When the state comes in and tells us that we have to worship on Sunday instead of Sabbath, we have established the house of our souls on the rock, Christ Jesus, and we will be able to stand for God. When our families and friends and loved ones ridicule us and forsake us because we have established the house of our souls on the rock, Christ Jesus, we are going to be able to stand for God. We are going to have that complete faith, as it's written in 1 John 5, verse 4. As Carlos read, let's read it again, 1 John 5, verse 4, which says, "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith." You see, as you build and increase your faith in God, there is no trial, there is no tribulation, there is no temptation, and there is no persecution that you will not be able to overcome, because your faith has enabled you to overcome this world. You can be a victor, you can be a conqueror, because you have established the house of your soul on the rock, Christ Jesus. You have built and increased your faith so much to the point where you cannot be moved, and you will stand for God on that day of test and trial. So you may ask, what is the true meaning of faith? What does it really mean to have faith? That you will be able to stand the test of time. How can I exercise faith in my life to the point where I have a complete faith in God, where there are no doubts that God will come through for me in every situation, in every trial, in every temptation, and that his promises will come true? Can we move to the first slide here, the meaning of faith? The meaning of faith. So what is faith? What is faith? In Hebrews 11, 1, 3, and 6, Hebrews 11, 1, 3, and 6, it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." So here we see that faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the mechanism by which we can hope for a better tomorrow, where we can hope for a world that has everlasting joy, everlasting peace, and everlasting love. The scripture also says that faith is the evidence of things not seen. It reminds me of when I was on jury duty some years ago. The lawyer was explaining what direct evidence meant and what indirect evidence meant in a case. He stated that direct evidence is like when someone says that it is raining outside and you go and look and can see with your very eyes that it's raining. He then went on to say that indirect evidence would be if someone said it was raining outside, and instead of you going to look to see that it is raining, you know that it is true because the person who just came from outside is wet or drenched from the rain. You may also hear the rain from the pounding on your roof. You can assume with 100% certainty that it is raining outside because of this sufficient evidence. Well, this is ultimately what faith is. It is realizing that as you see all of nature around you, the animals, the plants, the oceans, as you see how the stars and the sun and the entire solar system works in a perfect pattern, as you see how God works in the lives of individuals who were involved in all types of habits and addictions, and they have been transformed, as you see how God works miracles in the healing of the sick and giving protection to those who are in danger, you can only come to the conclusion that even though you don't directly see God and how he has performed these miraculous wonders, you have sufficient evidence that he does exist and that he's looking after the well-being of his children. For it says in Hebrews 11:6, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." In Romans 10, verse 17, Romans 10, verse 17, it talks more about the meaning of faith. Romans 10, verse 17. "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Simple scripture, but very powerful. We see that faith comes about by hearing the word of God. It is by hearing the word of God, as he tells us to keep his commandments and why we need to keep them. is by hearing the word of God, as he gives us the many examples of his faithful children who kept the word of God and were blessed, and the many examples of those who were unfaithful and suffered the consequences. It is by hearing the word of God, as he tells us of the many promises he has given us and how they have been fulfilled and how, and will continue to be fulfilled in our own lives. This is what brings about faith in our lives, and we can continue to build and increase that faith day by day. Second slide. We're going to talk about faith for an answered prayer. If we can move to the next slide, Sam. Faith for an answered prayer. So now that we've reviewed the meaning of faith, how can we exercise faith to the point where it is growing and increasing each day? I would like to address how we can build and increase our faith when it comes to an answered prayer. There are many times in our lives when we begin to lack faith in God because he doesn't answer us in the way or at the times that we want him to answer us. We may be praying for our children to have a relationship with God. We may be praying that a loved one be healed from a disease or illness. We may be praying that a family member is delivered from an addiction, such as drugs or alcohol. And it seems like God is taking a long time to answer, that he's not even listening because our loved ones are still struggling. But I'm here to assure you that God is still on the throne and that he will answer in his own way and in his own time, because his way is perfect and his timing is perfect. And when he does decide to answer your prayers, your loved ones will not only receive a blessing and grow from the experience, but you will receive a blessing. But you will receive a blessing and grow from the experience. And all the glory and praise will go to God. Jeremiah 32, verse 27. It says, "Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me?" So here we see there is nothing too hard for God to do in our lives. If he can create the light by just a word from his mouth, if he can create the animals and plants by just a word from his mouth, if he can part the seas so that his people can cross through, if he can heal a blind man from just saying a few words, if he can die for you being the creator and rise again to be the savior of us all, then surely he can answer your every prayer. He can deliver your loved ones from addiction. He can heal your loved ones of illness. He can transform your loved ones into men and women who can love and serve him. The key is, will we have faith to believe that God can work for us and that he has the perfect way and the perfect timing when answering our prayers? As we go to the New Testament and read more about faith, we'll see that Christ always cautioned those he was about to heal that it was only as they had faith to believe that he could heal them, that this would make the miracle actually happen that he was performing on them. Matthew 21, 18 to 22. If someone could turn to that, or we'll be reading that. Matthew 21, 18 to 22. Matthew 21, 18 to 22 says, "Now in the morning, as he returned to the city, he was hungry, and seeing a fig tree by the road, he came to it and found nothing on it but leaves, and said to it, 'Let no fruit grow on you ever again.' Immediately the fig tree withered away. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, 'How did the fig tree wither away so soon?' So Jesus answered and said to them, 'Assuredly, I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to this fig tree, but also if you say to this mountain, "Be removed and be cast into the sea," it will be done. And whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive." You see, many times we don't get our prayers answered because we don't have the faith to believe that our prayers will be answered. We allow doubts and unbelief to take hold of our minds that God does not have the ability to answer us. Whether we're praying for our children to come into a right relationship with God, whether we are praying for a family member who has a disease or illness, whether we're praying for a family member to be delivered from addiction, whether we're praying for a job that allows us not to work on the Sabbath. First, we must believe and have faith that God can answer our prayers, and then he will do it in his way and in his time, because his way and his timing is perfect. And in the end, when our prayers are answered, he will receive the praise and the glory.
Amen.
Psalms 27, verse, I'm going to skip around, 1, 5, 7 to 10, and verse 14. Psalms 27, verse 1 and 5, 7 to 10 and 14. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle, he shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When you said, seek ye my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, will I seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not leave me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my mother and father forsake me, then the Lord will take me. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. You see, many times when we're struggling to make sense of why God has not answered our prayers as yet, when we're trying to make sense of personal issues and struggles that we're having with families, friends, coworkers, or just society in general, we need to know that the Lord is our light and our salvation, that he will continue to lead and guide us on this straight and narrow path. And on this path, we need to know that there is nothing to fear, for the Lord is the strength of our life. And in our times of trouble and of conflict with possibly our loved ones and friends, God promises that he will hide us in his pavilion and the secret place of his tabernacle. We can find that quiet place with God where we can tell him all of our troubles and concerns. We can cry out to God, as it says in verses 7 through 9, Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When you said, Seek ye my face, my heart said to you, Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. And when you cry out to God with this true heart of faith, believing that God will answer your prayers, he will come through for you. And even though you may have to wait for his answer, as it says in verse 14, you know that God will answer you in his way and in his time, because his way and timing is perfect. And when you will end up with your prayers being answered, you can give him the praise and the glory. Third slide, or the next slide, faith for temptation. Faith for temptation. I would now like to address how we can build and increase our faith when it comes to overcoming temptation in our lives. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13 says, No temptation has taken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. You see, what the scripture is saying is that there is no temptation that is given to you that is beyond your capability to overcome with God's help. For as long as you have the faith to believe in the power of God, you can overcome whatever temptation Satan might throw your way. You can have the power to overcome addictions that you may have been struggling with for years by building and increasing your faith in God and knowing that He can give you the strength to overcome. You can have the power to overcome in the area of health by building and increasing your faith in God and knowing that He can give you the strength to overcome. You can overcome in the area of loving others by building and increasing your faith in God and knowing that He can give you the strength to overcome. You can overcome in the area of keeping the Sabbath day holy by not working on the Sabbath and not doing your own pleasures on the Sabbath, by building and increasing your faith in God and knowing that He can give you the strength to overcome. And as you are overcoming and your faith is increasing, you now will have the power, as it says in Matthew 21, 21 and 22, to move mountains. Because you have developed so much faith and have eliminated all your doubts. And now God can do miraculous wonders for you. He can transform that family member that you have been praying for. He can heal those who are sick and suffering who you've been praying for. He can get you that job that you've been praying for. Because whatever you're asking for in your prayers, believing, you will receive. James 2, 14 to 26. James 2, 14 to 26. It says, "What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith, but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Depart in peace, be warmed and filled,' but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, 'You have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith without works, and I will show you my faith by my works.' You believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, 'Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness.' And he was called the friend of God. You see then that a man is justified by works and not faith only. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. So here we see that in order for us to manifest that we have true, sincere faith in God and his word, we must be living his word and commandments in our lives. For we can't say that we have faith in God's word if we are truly not living and abiding by that word. For example, if we say that we have faith in some exercise regimen or have faith in the leader of some exercise regimen and don't actually do what the leader says or follows the guidelines of the exercise regimen, then how could we say that we really believe or have faith in that exercise regimen? Even so, if we truly have faith in God and his word, we must live by God's guidelines and requirements, because we believe that those guidelines and requirements work in our lives and gives us the peace, the joy, and happiness that we are truly craving and yearning for. And when we have that type of faith, we will truly believe that God will give us the strength to overcome temptations in our lives that will enable us to live and abide by his guidelines and requirements. Ephesians 6, 10 to 18. Ephesians 6, 10 to 18. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Here we see that in order to be victorious in overcoming temptation in this world, we must put on the whole armor of God. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we fight against principalities, against powers, against spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. And as we are putting on our armor every morning before we start our day, we must remember to put on our shield of faith above all the other armor that we will put on, because having the shield of faith quenches all of the fiery darts of the wicked one and quenches the fiery darts of all those he uses to cause us to fall and stumble in our walk with God. For this shield of faith not only protects us from those fiery darts of the enemy and the wicked, but it helps us to stay focused on God and his word. It shields us or eliminates the distractions of this world so we can keep our eyes fixed on Christ and our eyes fixed on gaining the victory over sin with his help. Our fourth slide, the story of faith. If you can move to the next slide. A story of faith. I would now like to discuss a story in the Bible that exemplifies the faith that I believe God wants us to have. To give some background to the story, I would like us to read Matthew 10, 1 to 15. Matthew 10, 1 to 15. And it says, "And when he had called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out, and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these: first Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the tax collector, James the son of Alphaeus, and Lebbaeus, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out and commanded them, saying, do not go into the way of the Gentiles, and do not enter into a city of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Provide neither gold nor silver nor copper in your money belts, nor bag for your journey, nor two tunics, nor sandals, nor staffs, for a worker is worthy of his food. Now whatever city or town you enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and stay there till you go out. And when you go into a household, greet it. If the household is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whoever who will not receive you nor hear your words, when you depart from that house or city, shake off the dust from your feet. Assuredly, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city." So here we see that the 12 disciples were given power to do many miracles in Israel, including power to even raise the dead. Now let's turn to Mark 9, 14 to 29. And this relates to this story. Mark 9, 14 to 29. And it says in Mark 9, 14 to 29, and when he came to the disciples, he saw a great multitude around them and scribes disputing with them. Immediately when they saw him, all the people were greatly amazed and running to him, greeted him. And he asked the scribes, what are you discussing with them? Then one of the crowd answered and said, teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit. And wherever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not. He answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me. Then they brought him to him. And when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. So he asked his father, how long has this been happening to him? And he said, from childhood. And often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running out together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him, enter him no more. Then the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, and came out of him. And he became one as dead, so that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he had come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast it out? So he said to them, this kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting. I want to read that last part again. It's just so important. And when he had come into the house, his disciple asked him privately, why could we not cast it out? So he said to them, this kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting. So we see here that the disciples had been given power by Christ to perform miracles for the people. In this instance, however, the disciples were powerless to heal this boy of the demonic spirit that plagued him most of his life. So we have to see why this was based on in this chapter. First of all, we have Jesus referring to the fact that because the disciples and the father lacked faith, the boy was not healed of his malady, as it says in verse 19. Second, after the father cries to Jesus for help, Jesus cautions the father that if he were to believe in the healing of his son, that all things will be possible for him. The father then cries out to Jesus, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. As this father has the necessary faith to believe that Jesus is going to heal his son, the miracle is now performed for him. Third, after the miracle is wrought for the father, the disciples inquired why they could not heal the boy, and Jesus tells them that this kind of miracle can only be wrought through prayer and fasting. You see, there are some prayers that we want to have answered. There are some miracles that we want performed by the mighty hand of God. But as related in this story, we first have the faith to believe that God can answer our prayers. We must first have the faith to believe that God can perform miracles on our behalf. And then secondly, we must ask in faith for God to grant our petitions. We must ask in faith for God to perform the miracles we want him to perform. And you may say to yourself and to others that you don't necessarily want a miracle, but that you want God to transform your children and make them what God wants them to be. And I'm here to tell you, it takes a miracle of love and grace to transform our children. And you may say that you don't necessarily want a miracle, but that you want God to deliver your loved one from an addiction or habit that they may have had for years, and I'm here to tell you that it takes a miracle of love and grace to deliver someone from an addiction. And you may say that you don't necessarily want a miracle, but that you want to be able to keep the Sabbath day holy. And I'm here to tell you that in order to keep the Sabbath day holy, that it's going to take a miracle of love and grace. And as we want these miracles to take place in our lives, we need to cry out to God as his father did. Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. We cry out to God because we believe that he can answer our prayers. We cry out to God because we believe that he can perform miracles on our behalf. And we want to eliminate all doubts in our minds that he will come through for us. And third, what the story of faith is very clear about is the fact that there are some habits or addictions that we're trying to overcome. There are some miracles that we would like to see performed. There are some prayers that we want to see answered that will not only take a deep faith in God, but will take much prayer and fasting. You see, the reason why our children may still be out of this message and their lives not transformed is because we don't have a deep faith in God, as well as not engaging in much prayer and fasting. The reason why our loved ones still may be struggling with addictions is because we don't have a deep faith in God and are not engaging in much prayer and fasting. We may be struggling with finding a job that allows us to keep the Sabbath day holy because we don't have a deep faith in God and are not engaged in much prayer and fasting. We may have family members who are still sick with disease and illnesses because we don't have a deep faith in God and are not engaged in much prayer and fasting. Because what this story is saying is that if we have that deep faith to believe God can perform miracles in our lives, coupled with much prayer and fasting, he will perform those miracles. It will take a great faith in us and us crying out to God, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief, that all our doubts can be removed, that God can work for us in a mighty way. The next slide. We're going to see what Ellen G. White says about this story. Just a brief excerpt about what she says in this story. Desire of Ages, page 429. Desire of Ages, page 429. If thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. How many a sin-burdened soul has echoed that prayer? And to all the pitying Savior's answer is, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. It is faith that connects us with heaven and brings us strength for coping with the powers of darkness. In Christ, God has provided means for subduing every sinful trait and resisting every temptation, however strong. But many feel that they lack faith and therefore they remain away from Christ. Let these souls, in their helpless unworthiness, cast themselves upon the mercy of their compassionate Savior. Look not to self, but to Christ. He who healed the sick and cast out demons when he walked among men is the same mighty Redeemer today. I want to say that one more time. It is faith that connects us with heaven and brings us strength for coping with the powers of darkness. In Christ, God has provided means for subduing every sinful trait and resisting every temptation, however strong. But many feel they lack faith, and therefore they remain away from Christ. Let these souls, in their helpless unworthiness, cast themselves upon the mercy of their compassionate Savior. Look not to self, but to Christ. He who healed the sick and cast out demons when he walked among men is the same mighty Redeemer today. Our next slide, examples of faith. We have so many in the Bible, and these are some here, examples of faith. Hebrews 11, jumping around here, 4, 5, 7, and then I'm reading 7 to 19. I'm reading 24 to 26, 32, 39, and 40. So I'm reading, I'm jumping around here. But in Hebrews 11, it says, by faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And through it, he being dead still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found, because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. By faith, Noah, being warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called, concluding that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets. And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. God, having provided something better for us, that they should be made perfect apart from us. So here we see so many examples of God's people demonstrating a complete faith, the faith that overcomes this world. And God requires us to demonstrate that complete faith, that we can in turn overcome this world, that God can fulfill his promises for us that he wasn't able to do for them in their day. Our next slide, our last slide here, as we wrap up here, as we close. You know, as we see the signs of the end with this pandemic and the love of many waxing cold, we need to remember to have faith that God will fulfill his promises to us, that he will protect us during these times of tribulation and trial. In 1 John, verse 4, 18 and 19, 1 John 4, verses 18 and 19, it says, there's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. So here we see, if we truly love God and our fellow men, we will not fear or be anxious about what is going on in this world. We will have a perfect trust in God that he will take care of us and look after us. We will know that our lives are hid with him, and that he will shelter and hide us in his pavilion and the secret place of his tabernacle. Hebrews 10, 35 to 39. Hebrews 10, 35 to 39. Hebrews 10, 35 to 39 says, therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. So here we see that we must not cast away our confidence in knowing that God will return someday to take us home to live with him eternally. We must have that endurance that after we have done the will of God, that after we have built and increased our faith when our prayers have been answered, that after we have built and increased our faith when we have overcome temptation, that we will receive the promise. And we will not lose our faith in this world and draw back into perdition, but we will have a strong, deep faith to the saving of our souls. Our last scripture here, 2 Timothy 4, verse 7 and 8. 2 Timothy 4, verses 7 and 8. 2 Timothy 4, verses 7 and 8. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who loved his appearing. So in closing, do we really want God to perform miracles for us in our day? Do we really want to see our children transformed into the men and women that God wants them to be? Do we really want to see our loved ones delivered from addictions and habits that they may have been struggling with for years? Do we really want to overcome? Do we really want the power to overcome temptations in our lives? Do we really want to be a part of God's end time people of Revelation 14, 12, who keep the commandments of God and have the faith of Jesus and who rescue those in this world who will respond to God's last call? Do we really want to see Jesus coming in the clouds of heaven in our lifetime? Well, if we truly want all of these things that are so dear to our hearts, then we must have a complete faith in God. We must have a faith coupled with works. We must have a faith that is willing to spend nights in prayer and days in fasting. We need a faith that cries out to God day and night sometimes, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. We need a faith that will overcome this world. May we continue to build and increase our faith today, that the house of our soul will be built on the rock Christ Jesus, that we may stand this test of time and be a part of God's kingdom that will reign eternally. May God bless us as we continue to walk this path of sanctification. Shall we bow our heads to pray? Dear Lord, I thank you for today. I thank you for all that you've given to us. I pray, Lord, that we will have this complete faith, this faith that will overcome this world of sin and degradation, this faith that will overcome this world with so much pain and hurt and anger, Lord, this faith that will help us to overcome, to be your end time people, to spread your gospel message that will end this great controversy. I pray and ask all these things in your name. Amen.
Thank you, brother, for this beautiful message. We have our closing song right now.
Solo Jesus.
Amen. Let us bow our heads for prayer, for the closing prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this wonderful message that you have sent us, Lord. Lord, I pray and I ask, Father, that your Holy Spirit will be upon us, Father, that you shower us with your Holy Spirit and empower us with your Holy Spirit, Lord. And I pray that you help us, Lord, help our unbelief and help us, Lord, to increase our faith day by day, Lord. And Lord, I also pray that you also help us, Lord, to spend time with you in your word, to spend time in fast and prayer. Forgive us, Lord, because, Father, sometimes we are lacking on fasting and prayer, Lord. But Lord, this is essential in our lives, and it's something that we really need to do, Lord. And I pray, Father, that you, Father God, empower us and give us the will to do it, Lord. Father God, I pray that your will be done in us, Father. And I pray, Father, that Father God, as you increase our faith and our trust in you, that we also, Father, pray and fast and ask, Father, for all these people to they need to come to you, Father. All these that need to come to the light, Lord. And I pray and I ask, Father, because my children also need to come to you, Lord, need to know you, Lord. And I pray, Father God, that you help us to go and reach all these that need to come to you, to come to the light. They need to know that there is salvation in Jesus Christ. They need to know how much you love us, Lord. Father God, you are amazing God, and your love and your mercy endures forever. And Lord, I thank you for that, and I praise you, and I ask, Father, that you also help us to accomplish the mission that you have given us, Father God, that this world that is dying, Lord, that we may bring the light, Father, because, Father, we are the light, we are the salt of the world, and you send us to go. And I pray, Father, that you help us, Lord, to go and to do your will, Lord. All this I ask in Jesus Christ's name, and for his merits I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you, Brother Jalon, for this
message.
Have a blessed Sabbath.
Hello. Hey,
blessed Sabbath to everyone. Thank you, Jalon.
Happy Sabbath, everyone.
Happy Father's Day, all men.
All men.
All men.
Thank you.
All fathers, all men.
Thank you very much.
All right. Have a blessed day. Blessed Sabbath.
Happy Father's Day, Enjoy.
Thank you, Marilyn, for putting the program. It was beautiful. Thank you.
Yes. Thank you, Marilyn.
You open Amber too.
Amber also. All right. Thank you. What? Hi. Happy Sabbath, everyone.
Happy Sabbath.
The last one.
Okay.
Bye, baby.
Hi, Dad. Happy Father's Day. Mine was a little long.
It's fine. It was fine.
Bye, Dad. Happy Sabbath, family.
Thank you.